Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all is that within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts up to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. I have read for your soul's inspiration and your listening consideration the 103rd Division of Psalms, verses 1 through 6. Let me tell you something. In this day and time, it is a good thing to give recognition unto God. Why? Because he is our source. He is our force. He is our guiding compass in this weary land. And if there was ever a time that this land, this society has been plagued, has literally been turned upside down, that time is here and now. And glory to his precious name, and thank God for his protective power. Thank him for just being God of all that we see and even what we don't see. Yes, you know it. You've tuned in to Manna of Reality, brought to you over the airwaves of the Blog Talk Radio Network. It's been a while, but let me tell you something. In all things, there is a reason and a season. On this Monday, yes it is, Monday, June 28th, 2021, as to where we are, what we do, and how God imputes and plants us in areas that we don't even know or more or less understand. That's why it's so important to be obedient, for it is better to obey than to give sacrifice. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I'm going to tell you something. This is the word of knowledge. We're going to get into our topic very shortly, part one, phase one of our topic about the real existence of aliens, or is this merely a mythological perspective in which people are using as a way of giving them a venue of explanation to all the things that are occurring? We're going to get into that, phase one. But right now, we have to understand that man shall not live by bread alone. This is what the problem is. You cannot remedy a spiritual condition with natural ways and means. Why? Because that which is of the flesh is of the flesh, and that which is of the spirit or spiritual is of the spirit or of spiritual. And this is the reason why it's so important to understand that the word of God, the Holy Scriptures, is the anchoring foundation to security in our life in the here and now sense of things, as well as our eternal journey into that wonderful land of paradise, of heaven. But we've got to live and we've got to make it here. That's right. We are sojourners in this weary land. And we must understand, as being sojourners, we got to stay on task, on tab, and very much on our mission. And we cannot stray away. And we cannot remove ourselves from our spiritual relationship with God. I know all things are considered, that we have to have ways and means of provisions on this earth. That's right. And as our brethren spake, that's right. Paul said, I would that you prosper in by all things and be in health, even as your soul does. So yes, it's a perpetuation of God's mercy, his miraculous power, and his divine intervention that provides these things. But we need to maintain the integrity of our spiritual relationship. And I know oftentimes we become very busy, very overtaken with what our day-to-day requirements are. But we must maintain the integrity of maintaining ourselves on the spiritual level. That's why, because if we get distracted, we'll fall, we'll go off course, and we will diminish in our ability to master what God has given us. And remember this, he has given us this treasure in an earthen vessel. That's right. And so that treasure is the power of the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit works in the ways that you and I can never even be able to explain. But this is the divine conductor that leads us and guides us into all matter of truth, not just only spiritual truth and enlightenment, but in worldly affairs. It gives us the power, the unction, the capacity, the overall ability to discern what is fact and what is fiction. That's right. So have you, and I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it, but you know something? You need to consider this question as being a formidable foundation for you to get closer to God and to get more in depth into his word. Have you truly connected with the Creator today? Did you say, thank you, God, for another day that you have allowed me upon the planet Earth? Have you said, praise God for all of his blessings, both great and small? Have you appreciated the very gift of life? Because life is a gift, and living is a privilege to those who have that gift. It's the gift that is unwrapped and the gift that keeps on giving back over and over again. So we need to make sure that we stay stabilized, that we stay focused, we stay polarized on what our position is. And let me tell you something. Satan has tried his best to diminish the power of God in society. Look at the very elementations of what's going on in this world. Look at the very laws that are permeating unhealthy relationships, unharmonious balance that is causing all of this confusion. This tells us as believers of God through Jesus Christ that we need to become more vigilant. We need to become more aggressive in our area of spirituality. We need to connect more with the Creator so that the power of God can reside within us and illuminate through us. That's right. So let me tell you something. If there was ever a day and time that we needed to focus on these areas, we're building the foundation for today's topic because so many of you have emailed me and asked me, where have you been? I've been doing the work that is assigned to me to teach, to provide emphasis, to provide leadership, to cultivate up-and-coming leaders, to get into the vineyard and to work while it's yet day. Working on the natural level, working on the spiritual level. Because when night cometh, no man labors. That's right. So it's day now. So we've got to put the labor in motion. And that is what I've been doing. And here and now, the reason why we're addressing this topic is because it's considered as one of the top priorities and concerns alongside with what the pandemic has done with the economy, with racial inequality. People are now concerning their energies into the area of alien intelligence and alien existence. This is where it's leading us now. And what I see, this is the proclivity of what my projection is. It is definitely distracting so many members of society, both great and small, believers and non-believers, into an area that is really very tenacious. It is very tenacious, and it's highly controversial because despite whether or not you believe these occurrences does not make them or make them even the more valid. So many individuals have stated that they've actually had encounters. We're going to discuss some of that later on down the line, but we need to get into this area because as I see so many of professing believers who are now in the realm of actually thinking that alien intervention has already occurred and that these beings are living amongst us, assuming natural capacity, natural identity, but they are on a different frequency or cosmic level. Well, you know something? It sounds like an episode from a science fiction movie, but nevertheless, some believe in the reality that aliens really do exist and that they live amongst us and that they have the capacity to literally manage the weather patterns, manage pandemics, cause the frequency of natural and man-made disasters to influence the mentality of human beings because human beings are considered as inferior productions to them. So many people are believing this, and they're getting to the area not only of UFOlogy, but they're getting into alienology, the studying of aliens and the various classifications, the reptilians, the Nordics, and the various classifications of aliens. And we're going to talk about that much further down the line, but we're laying down the foundation. I know some of you are saying, well, you know, as being a biblical lecturer and an instructor, why would you address this topic? It doesn't seem very spiritual. It is very spiritual because you know something? It is a diversion. Anything that is a diversion to believers, it causes a level of skepticism. People will begin to stray away from what is truth and what is fact and begin to go into the area of believing mythological occurrences and that mythological beings do exist. Now, let me tell you something. To those of you who may give the projection of saying, well, that's not of interest to me. Well, you know something, refer the information to someone else. It could be a game changer. That's right. It could help enlighten someone else because as being children of God, that's what the problem is. We become so close-circuited. We become so closed off to what's going on in society. Jesus told us to be in the world. You have to know what's going on. You got to get current with what's happening, but be not of the world. How can I teach people not to be of the world if I don't understand and can't relate to the things that are happening in the world? It is literally not going to happen. So therefore, I have to engage on all levels of topic matter, despite whether I agree or disagree. It's an open-ended venue. It's up to the individual. And let me tell you something. We're going to use the Word of God as the foundation piece to validate as to whether or not they're actually experiencing alien intervention / invasion. And here we go. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're asking that you enlighten us with the power of thy word. For thy word is truth, and we should know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And he that the Son has set free is free and free indeed. So, Father God, we're asking that you teach us and instruct us in the way that we should walk and conduct our affairs and equip us with the power of wisdom, the ability to discern facts from fiction, the ability to manipulate and to monitor. That's right, for Lord, we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. And I'm asking that you enlighten every listener to become a messenger of your truth, of your ethics, Lord, despite where they are geographically, Lord, whether here in America, in Europe, whether it's in Asia, whether it's in Australia, whether it's in South America, whether it's in Canada, whether it's in Africa, Lord, we know that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. We thank you for this liberty that thou hast given unto us. Let all things be made glorious in your name. And my blessed Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we praise you. Amen. Here we are in the current state of things. And this topic has become such a very centralized place of existence in this here and now formulation of what we speak. So to the point that the Pentagon has actually ascribed a committee to investigate these various UFO containment sightings throughout the geographical USA and even around the world. They're connecting actually with other governments around the world, and some of them are validating. They have seen various types of phenomena, aerial phenomena, that cannot be explained, not only from the span of the physical characteristics of the craft, but also it's relevant to those who say that they have actually had physical encounters with what we refer to as extraterrestrial beings, also known as aliens. So know that when we're talking about aliens, we're not talking about people from another country who are not familiarized with the cultural bearings of our country. We're talking about beings on another level of frequency, supernatural beings, as so many of us refer to them as being. But here we're going to get into the Word of God, and there has been referred to, even by Billy Graham and other religious leaders within the community of past and even present, that there is apparent scriptural evidence of these occurrences. Now, let's go, and I want you to get out your Bible, and I need you to do this because this is where we're going to begin. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel. I know many of you think about the prophet Ezekiel, that Ezekiel saw the wheel, and there was a song that actually talked about Ezekiel seeing the wheel. That's right. And so therefore, we should become familiarized with this prophet. That's right. He came at a time when Judah was in its very darkest hour. Isn't this world in its very darkest hour, just recovering from the pandemic, not knowing the true origins of where it came from? Others, ethics being questionable about racial inequality, police brutality, mass suicides, mass murderers. All these things are prevalent in today's society, which ushers in a very dark phase of mankind's existence. And here it was with Judah. Ezekiel was a priest and a prophet. In the darkest days of Judah's history, the 70-year period of the Babylonian captivity. We're in captivity because you know what? Unrighteousness seems to be the new trend of today. Do what you feel. Say what you feel. Act the way you want to act. You are in control of your own life. This is the philosophical projection that's been handed down to us. And so many individuals believe this, and they're acting out. Carry the very essence of the land of Judah's misery. This man was plagued by what was going on. But nevertheless, God used this man, Ezekiel, as a messenger to gather together his people who were exiled because they had dried up. They tried to adopt to the philosophical projections of what Babylon created. But God promised to reassemble and once again revitalize Judah. That's right. And that he would prove that he is God. So very much to understand that Ezekiel's name means God strengthened, and that this man was used as a fortifying force to bring back together the remnant that had got scattered as a result of the sinful nature of mankind in the area of governance, in the area of sociological affiliations, and in society in general. Now here we go. We're going to go to the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel, building a foundation. Now it came to pass, this is Ezekiel, the first chapter and the first verse we're reading. In the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Sheba, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the morn, which was the fifth year of King Jehoshaphat's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressively unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Shebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked and beheld a whirlwind came out of the north. Listen now. A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. they are the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. So we see the number four is significant and relevant here. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot, okay? And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they, therefore, had faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. And as of the likeness of their faces, they had four, the face of a man and the face of a lion and on the right side, and they had four, they had the face of an ox on the left side. The four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched up forward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Whether the spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. And as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned at the appearance of a flashing of lightning. Now if I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl. And they had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon the four sides, and they turned not when they went. And the four sides represents the four directions, north, south, east, and west. And as their ring, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them. And when the living creature went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Now, you take the terminology of what I'm reading. Many will revert to this and say, this sounds like a spaceship. This sounds like the type of physical characteristics of a spaceship, of a UFO. It sounds that way. Many have even referred to it as he had the first alien encounter, Ezekiel did. Whithsoever the spirit was to go, they went thither. Was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood, and when those who were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads. And under the firmament were their wings, straight. The one toward, the one everyone had two, which covered on this side, and everyone had two, which covered on that side, their body. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters. There's the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of hosts. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of sapphire stone. Upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above it. And as I saw, as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, And I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now listen. To those who perceive that this was an alien encounter, this was an encounter in which God revealed these four creatures that had these diverse appearances, okay? And as one would proclivate, it seemed as though these beings descended from the sky. How many individuals have said that they have saw these aircraft descend from the sky? They maintain the integrity of being aerial, but at command, they begin to condescend toward the earth. And many have even claimed that these individuals that they saw were nothing of the specification of any living creature upon the earth. So automatically, this is how this whole hysteria of UFOlogy and alien invasion occurred, based upon the biblical foundation of what Ezekiel experienced as a result of his encounter. Now, as to whether or not you and I can say this is validation that aliens actually do exist and that this is something that we should become more grounded in, it's up to the individual. But do not allow your interest to steer you away from what your cause is, from what your calling is. Your calling is to give recognition unto God, maintain the integrity of your profession, to go about and be as fishers of men, to reel in those who are seeking the knowledge of God, and to equip them with the spiritual persona and with the weaponry so that they can become fishers of men as well, and to exalt the name of Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, to honor God the Father as creator of all, as being supreme and sovereign over the universe, and to inform mankind that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and them and all they that dwell therein. And that we're to be the ambassadors of God's power to work through us, to perform the miracles, to do, as Jesus said, in his name, to cast out devils, to heal, to bring forth salvation to the lost, deliver us to those who are in bondage, to bring forth prosperity unto those who are economically suffering. This is what our calling is. The reason why we must abstain from becoming caught up in the wrong type of belief system. Because we see that the church, the professed church, has become worldly and the world has become churchy. So that means that we have to be able to walk down that path, the straight and narrow, that path of righteousness, and being able to rightfully truth from mythological conceptions. And this is where we're laying the foundation. Now here we see what happened with Ezekiel. Many have said, even in the believers community, that Ezekiel experienced the first UFO encounter and that he experienced an alien encounter as well as seeing these creatures. What would you and I have done if we experienced these things? But see, Ezekiel gave acknowledgement that God was in control and that because God allowed it, this is what the manifestation came forward as, and we must respect who God is. So many Christians don't respect the posture of God. God created this universe. He created you and I, because everything that is in the natural was first created in the spiritual realm. Before you and I became physical beings, we were spirit children. That's why, so God the Father, that's why he knows us. That's why he knows us so well. We were his spirit children. And because he spoke us into existence, we became physical beings. That's right. That's the reason why the scripture tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning. Because without him was nothing made. That's right. So God is God of all. That's right. So we are already understanding that concept and how important that is. But let me tell you something. When God created us, spoke us into spiritual existence, yes, we understand what happened with Adam. That's right. He created Adam from the dust of the earth. That's right. But Adam was formulated in the spiritual aspect first. Then after Adam came to earth, God appointed him to be a custodian of the earth. Then God looked upon Adam and knew that Adam needed a helpmeet. That's right, for it was not good for man to be alone. And so that's why God created womankind. Womankind was taken from the rib of man. Why? Because she was taken from the womb of man, which is his rib, and the rib is close to his heart. So that means that the woman's place is not behind the man. It's beside him as a helpmeet, as his support mechanism. And the reason for this, God allowed the woman to come forth. That's right. And because God created all things, all life, we must regard to the fact that when he did, mankind had an enemy. That's right. Mankind had an enemy. And let me tell you what that enemy was and is. It was Saint Lucifer. What? Saint Lucifer desired to be as God. He wanted to be as God. He knew he could never be God. Come on. How can a prince outrule a king? There is no way. Saint Lucifer was the minister of the morning, the minister of music. That's right. Every morning he performed the most beautiful music ever designed. We don't know what the music sounded like. No, we don't. But that was his responsibility. And he was one of the most beautiful angels that God made. Well, you know something? Because of his beauty and what God gave him, see, understand, the creature can never supersede the creator. Because the creator molded and fashioned the creature. So who's greater? But his desire to be more than what he was, through a spirit of pride. This is why the scriptures, the holy scriptures, constantly warn us about the dangers of pride. For pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before the fall. And because of pride, he became self-serving, and he desired to take over and to be in control. And when knowing full well he did not have the capacity to control, he desired it as such. And what happened? As a result, he was casted out of heaven. Not only was he casted out, two-thirds of the angels fell with him. Why? Because they too fell victim to the ignorance that was being imputed into them by Saint Lucifer. So what happened was that when he was casting down, he plummeted to the earth, and God commanded and told him that he would never, ever be allowed back into the kingdom of heaven, that his kingdom would be upon the earth, and that he would have to walk the earth to and fro for all eternity. So that time came that he would be casted into the lake of fire. That's right. So he knew that it was over for him. So Saint Lucifer became the enemy of mankind, along with his angels. His angels are referred to as demons. That's right. Or miniature devils. That's right. So Lucifer had no power except the power be granted to him. That's right. So people say, oh, the devil made him do it. That's a lie. He can't make anybody do anything. Because why? He is not Lord. He is the God of this society. Why? Because people would rather commit acts of atrocity and unrighteousness than to walk in righteousness. That's why they give him the power. But he hath no power of his own. So this is what happened. After that took place, he destined that he would gather himself, the very creatures that God made, and he would become their adversary or their adversary. An adversary is not always a person who wants to come and beat you up and take over your house. No, it's a person who wants to come to you and to sly you, to slick you, to trick you. And if you don't believe this, remember what happened to Eve in the garden. Now, Satan came as the serpent. He became as the dragon. He came as the serpent. And the serpent is the most subtle creature that there is. They're quiet. They move about. They don't bother you unless you bother them or you have something that generates them to you. And so he came to Eve in the garden because he knew that he could never, ever get back to heaven. He knew that he would never, ever have power. So what he did, let's go to Genesis, the third chapter. We're building the foundation so we can take off from here and get into this topic. Now listen, third chapter, the book of Genesis, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman was Eve, the woman was taken out of the man's sight, so he was the womb of man. He said, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And he appeased her. He didn't say, hey, you, come over here and eat of this tree. You know, no, he appeased to the interest. See, women become interested. When you raise the eyebrows of a woman, she becomes interested. She becomes intuitive. And he talked his way into her heart. And the woman said, verse 2, chapter 3 of Genesis, unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now here it is, the trickster. He didn't make her do it, but here he appeased to her curiosity and her interest. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Remember the fifth verse. Now here, I want you to underline the fifth verse. Now here it is, appeasing to her interest, her curiosity. For God doth know that in the day ye shall eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. He appeased to her pride, her curiosity, to master the element. Okay? And so what happened? Let's find out what happened in the sixth verse. And the woman saw that the tree was good. Remember, we as women, we first look with our eyes. We love with our eyes. Whatever is admirable with the eyes, it captures our attention, our focus. The next thing you know, with the talk that comes along, it can then capture our hearts. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So he went to the weakest link in the chain, the woman, out of her curiosity, her openness, her desire to become intuitive. That is what caused her to fall. And because she failed, the man failed. And guess what happened? The seventh verse. And the eyes of them both were opened. They became conscientious of the world around them. That's what it's saying. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. That's right. Aprons are, in this case, are like skirts. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That means in the late afternoon. The cool of the day is in the late afternoon, okay? And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Now, this is where God is the Almighty, creator of all, amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? That means, where are you, Adam? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, the 11th verse, let's go there. And he said, who told thee? This is God speaking now. Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? He said, now, did you go and eat from the tree I told you not to eat from? And what happens, what most men do, what do? They point the finger at the weaker vessel. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. 13th verse. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And what did the woman say? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. That means the serpent tricked me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all of the days of thy life. So now he's telling Satan, the serpent, you're going to crawl on your belly and be safe to the dust. You will be the lowest form of creatures that are upon the earth because you tricked this woman to defy against me. And then you know after that came, the woman became the very seed of children being born through pain and travail. The children would give her a hard time. She would have to chasten them. The man would have to work from day in to day out to provide a living. The man went from paradise to being exiled. And this is what happened. So knowing this, why did Satan do this? Because he knew that he could never again enter into the kingdom of heaven. He had lost all favor with God, and that his eternal sentence would not be changed or removed. And because he knew this, he set out to destroy mankind and to cause them as much suffering as he possibly could. And this is the purpose of this. That's right. And so now understanding that, so we come to understand to the fact that he was bound now to the world. He would be limited. And this is why the scripture calls Satan the prince and the power of the air. That means of the environment, of the world. Society brings forth an environment. The environment predicates what occurs within society. And this is how he became the adversary of mankind, because he does not desire to experience his eternal fate alone. He wants to take as many people with him as he possibly can, because he knows that his time is indeed limited. So now we understand that he was besieged to attempt to destroy and to deter mankind because of the eternal sentence that was passed upon him. And look what he did. He deceived the woman, caused her to fall into falter, caused condemnation to come upon mankind. The woman now would have children through pain, travail, and sorrow. The children would cause her much misery because she would be the person to govern over them. And then she would be ruled over by the man, because the man was considered the head. He was made first in creation, and because he failed God, God put the responsibility of man to provide for his family, and no longer would man have anything given to him. He would have to earn it from the sweat of his brow, and there would be contentions between him and the woman. Satan would receive the security of his eternal sentence. He would then be allowed to roam the earth, and then after his period of roaming had ended, he would then be put into the lake of fire. And you know something? That will be his final destination, then he will be released again. So we see a trend here, And we now understand where these things are occurring. Now, behind Satan being casted out of heaven, there were his friends, his accompaniment, those fallen angels. And this is where we get to the point of understanding where the Nephilim came from. We're going to get more into that later on. We understand these various types of manifestations. Many people say that they're aliens and they're actually beholding demonic forces manifesting. And understand that the scriptures tell us, and we're going to go more into that this week, the scriptures tell us that Satan has transformed his ministers into angels of light, that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. That is 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter. While we still have time on this broadcast, let's go there as we're building the foundation for our topic, because we have to look at all things through a biblical perspective, because this is where the truth comes cold. Because now, listening to what the news media projects and listening to what various individuals are giving their philosophy, their take up, does not mean that it is true. So 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and the 14th verse. It tells us, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the 14th verse. It tells us very clear instructions as it relates to dealing with these areas, because we have to be wise. We have to be wise as servants, as Jesus told us, but yet harmless as doves. Here it is. Let's start at the 12th verse. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found as we. Now, Apostle Paul is talking about separating himself from various individuals who do not perceive the truth and they want to follow a heresy. The 13th verse says, for as such are false apostles, deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. 14th verse, and no marvel. That means no wonder. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. See? 15th verse, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. I say again, 16th verse, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. He's saying this, you know something? If you can't see the truth and the perspective of how Satan is the enemy of mankind, desiring to destroy mankind through his leadership, through false doctrines, through false teachings, mankind is falling victim to these things, and even to those who are his followers, are projecting these things as truth, you need to sit down and to evaluate yourself as a believer. You need to re-evaluate your level of salvation unto God, because you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And once you are free, you no longer desire to be in bondage. You don't desire to fall into hearsay. You don't desire to fall into false teaching because your spirit won't agree with it. Have you ever absorbed something that your body didn't agree with and it began to reject what it is that you ingested? You begin to itch or you begin to feel faint. You begin to become weakened or you begin to feel some way that is just not natural. That's the same thing that happens to true children of God when they are exposed to things that are not of God, and there's some fallacy in there, you will begin to reject it because you know that this is not the truth of God. This is the reason why we should not believe in extraterrestrial intervention. There is only but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and that is in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name, the only name that every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Any teaching, any belief system, any philosophical projection or proclivity that teaches anything outside of this is false doctrine. It's false information, and it should not be adhered to. Well, listen, this time has been interesting, and it's really went very quickly. Don't get sad. Get glad, because we're coming back on tomorrow to pick up part two about whether or not there is really an Asian invasion, an alien invasion. Because you know something? We need to become more stringent in the truth than defend the truth, but to speak up for the truth. And when we speak up for the truth will speak up for us. So have a wonderful day, and I say to you until tomorrow, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. Have a glorious and victorious day, and know that you can do, and as well as I can do, all things through Christ that strengthens me. Enjoy your day, and we'll see you real soon. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, Abby Self, saying to you, and all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you on tomorrow.